Well, let's get to our interview with these two great people here, Pam and Amy. Do you want to start out, Chris?
Sure. I tell you what, let's start with, tell us about Selk Creek Conservation Alliance. Amy, you're the executive director. And then I want to hear a bit about your story, because you've been there for a couple years now?
3 years now. 3 years. As of April, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, so what is the SCA?
So Selk Creek Conservation Alliance is actually one of the oldest environmental nonprofits that we have up in our neck of the woods. It was actually has an interesting history, founding history. Some of our original founders, shout out to Margie Hall and Dave Boswell, folks like Barry Rosenberg, founders of SCA, had deep ties with other nonprofits in the region, founders in the region like Mary Lou Reed and Art Manley, which were founders of Kootenai Environmental Alliance and Idaho Conservation League. So we're some of the same DNA of those pretty well-known nonprofits, but really the founders were just a group of ordinary citizens, Priest Lake and Priest River residents, that were tired of seeing, you know, paradise being paved over, so to speak, and they formed the Selk Creek Conservation Alliance. It was originally the Selk Creek Priest Basin Association, and I'm not sure when we got condensed down to Selk Creek Conservation Alliance, but yeah, it's just truly a grassroots organization. We've been around now for 37 years. We were founded way back in the olden days of 1986.
Yeah, that's some history right there. It was the Selk Creek Priest Basin Association. I remember it from 1990 when I first became aware of it. And what I remember actually were a couple of the early issues that engaged on. One was there was a proposal for micro hydro systems along the east side of Priest Lake. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that because it goes so far back. That actually rose to the level of the governor came and toured these sites, because there was a lot of contention that people that have places around Priest Lake and love Priest Lake, that these micro hydro systems were going to be on Lion Creek and a bunch of the small creek, Hunt Creek, that come into the lake. We're going to impact the lake negatively, and ultimately that loss. Another big one I remember was Huckleberry Bay. What are some of the, when Huckleberry Bay was first proposed, it was going to be a large resort, and there was actually going to be a ski area there along that east side of Priest Lake. But what are some of the more recent issues that you've been working on?
So Selk Creek Conservation Alliance, we have three what we call our pillar programs, and one of those is our environmental advocacy program, and that is really a whole heck of a lot of, it's not always sexy, big, flashy issues that we're working on. It's a whole lot of just watchdogging plans and permits and policies that are coming out from, you know, different agencies and local governments, and commenting and pushing back on, you know, things that are going to impact special sites, areas like wetlands, salmon spawning areas. Some of the, you know, flashier things that we've been working on are the conservation of the Kulin wetland system, which is one of only three hydrologically connected wetland systems that are still functioning around Priest Lake. And we do a lot of proactive watchdogging work as well. So we proactively submit FOIAs to Army Corps of Engineers and Army Idaho Department of Lands, agencies like that, to see, you know, what's coming down the pipeline with people applying for building location permits and just development around our area. And I want to be clear, Selk Creek Conservation Alliance, we're not anti-development. We're just pro-common sense development that preserves special sites and areas. We can't build everywhere.
So it sounds like it's been a lot about the lake, Priest Lake, but Selk Creek Mountains, you know, that's obviously, it's integral to the watershed. Are you dealing with issues in the Selk Creek Mountains range?
So our advocacy area is the lower Selk Creek Mountain range. So delineated really by the Kootenai River on the east and the Pend'Oreille River on the south and west. And, you know, over our 37 years, we've dealt with a number of issues, whether it be air issues in the smelter, water issues. Just recently in 2020, we, through a rigorous strategic planning process, decided to focus our you know, limited staff time and energy and funding on surface and groundwater quality conservation in the basin. And so to that end, all of our pillar programs and projects under those pillar programs are kind of focused on water quality conservation and protection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'd kind of like to hear your story, Amy. What's your background and how did you come to be executive director?
My story, it's so long. So I have degrees in ecology and conservation biology, wildlife biology, and rangeland ecology from the University of Idaho. And after I graduated, one of my first jobs was with the Upper Columbia United Tribes. So I had the great pleasure to work with all five of our Upper Columbia tribes. From there, I moved on to work as an environmental planner with the Coeur d'Alene Tribe, which I really loved that job. It was a lot of kind of doing what I'm doing now, watchdogging of plans and policies, making sure that you know, the reservation natural resources plans were being, you know, abided by. And then from there, I moved on and was environmental programs director for Kootenai Environmental Alliance. So that was really my first taste. I volunteered for nonprofits for many years, but this was my kind of first taste of working for a nonprofit. And I just really, really loved it. And Selkirk Conservation Alliance reached out to me. I guess it was in the winter of 2020. I was their planner for their strategic planning process. And then they hired me in April of 2021.
I have to say that's the best thing we've done. She is a go-getter, as you have heard.
Pam, tell us about how you came to be involved.
Well, in the 90s, I was doing contracts with the Forest Service and IDL, and I had a job up on Hugh Lyon. No, what creek did I say it was? Darn it. You said Hunt Creek. Thank you. Beautiful creek. Right in front of me was a spray truck. I stopped. I freaked out. Went into the IDL office. I talked to them about it to no avail. On my way home, I saw the Selkirk Priest Basin Alliance sign on the cleanup for the highway. And I went into Priest River, found them, talked to them, got some action going. Connected with them for quite a while. Got a teaching degree. I had no time to devote to anything else, came back into retirement, saw the cool and wetland issue, ran into Amy at the county commissioner's office. We talked for a while. I joined the alliance. She called me and said, would you be on the board? And I'm like, oh, sure. And then I am now on the fundraising committee. And my job a lot is to connect SCA with the east part of Bonner County. Thus, KRFY has helped. I know they interviewed with you folks a couple of years ago. Evans Brothers has helped us. Bags for Change at Winter Ridge, we did a keg takeover at the Idaho Poor Authority for a fundraiser. The Reader has been awesome sharing. KRFY, again, like I said, is awesome. And then the U.S. Climate Action Network is one of my neighbors is part of that, so we got a great funding through them. So I'm kind of like the fundraiser.
Bringing Pam on is one of my best moves.
Well, one of the things I know about you, Pam, is you pay attention to what's going on and you care deeply about our environment, the beauty of this area. I was just thinking we're in a valley surrounded by gorgeous mountains. It's so unique, and you pay attention, and when you saw that spray truck, it started your journey into SCA, and
Selkirk Conservation.
You might as well say it that way. I wrote it down too many times that way, other way. But, you know, and then you get involved, and so, yeah, Amy, you're right. She's a value to the, not just to the organization, but to our area, so good work.
Oh, thank you.
Got to get it where you can.
That's right. Because we are keeping the wild in the Selkirk ecosystem is what we're doing.
Thank you.
Well, I want to swing back and talk a little bit more about some of the environment issues that our ecosystem is facing. But let's talk first about this pretty good size event you have coming up. It's your 30th annual film festival.
It is.
And it's this Saturday.
It is the 15th
Yeah.
Saturday.
And take it from there.
I can go. The doors open at 3. The film started at 3:30. They ended about 5. We have curated. This is a grassroots film festival. There's no charge. You do, if you want to come, you need to reserve seats because the inn is only so big. We do a potluck. It's a lot of fun. We have all the donors come and just enjoy the films we've put together. And we do this. We grab them off of the web and share and watch them and see what we like. And then she makes a big list. And then we all go through them and give our pros and cons. And so we're trying to stick with issues that we have in the basin. And so we've got film on water and women fighting against pipeline expansion, natives fighting against river dams, the Klamath. We've got a thing on beavers, a little piece on the grizzly bears. This is a great one, climate change and the grizzlies, which is appropriate to our area for sure right now, especially since they're being delisted. We have an event speaker, Todd Higgins, Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. I don't know what else to share except that we have some amazing sponsors making this happen. Thank you very much, Keoki Media Marketing, Vexing Media, and Arborcrest Wine Cellars. And hopefully we'll have some more by the time we get there.
Sandow Construction and Doma Coffee Roasters are some of our newest sponsors. So this is, while it's free and open to the community, it is a fundraiser for SCA. So if you visit our website, you can kind of see we have different sponsorship levels with various perks associated with those levels. And as Pam said, it's just a fun day of just getting together with our community. We have curated a really great list of films that highlight a lot of the same issues that we're dealing with in our neck of the woods, like snowmelt and grizzlies. We've got, issues that we're dealing with the decline of Priest River. We've got some great film on the Klamath River and dam removal on that river. So we're just really excited to share and educate our community.
So please come.
And, yeah.
Public.
Bring a checkbook and make a donation,
it yes,
too.
Please.
It is a fundraiser.
Bring
it's
a potluck.
Free. Oh, yeah. What do you need in the potluck, you know?
Anything. We'll take anything.
yep. It's kind of a community little event. So
when you say potluck, everyone's mind goes to their favorite dish.
Yep.
But I want to say that it's picking that time. Doors open at 3. And the time that you picked, it sounds like it's family friendly. And it doesn't interrupt your other evening plans. And this organization, the Selkirk Conservation Alliance, to me, from what I've heard here so far, is vital to the beauty and the preserving and making sure, watchdogging, as you say, Amy, that things go right in the right direction. So,
and she is our only paid employee.
Yeah.
I mean, we are truly grassroots, small, doing a lot of work.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And what is that website? So people can go there and find out more.
www.scawild.org.
Wild.
Wild. Yeah.
SCAWild.org.
Okay.
So I assume because you rattle off a whole bunch of films and the event is only, a couple hours, that these are short films.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
I think our longest is The Grizzly Bear. It's 29 minutes.
Okay.
It's very appropriate for climate change.
Yeah, we've got 6 films in total with a little 10-minute intermission and a speaker at the beginning.
Uh-huh. And the speaker is from the Department of Environmental Quality?
Yes. Yeah, we've got Todd Higgins from Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, and he's going to be talking to our participants about SCA's citizen science water quality monitoring work. We do a heck of a lot of water quality monitoring in the Priest Basin, and Todd helped us develop, it's called a GIS story map that you can also find on our website. But he really helped us take our data and make it visual and just more, kind of user-friendly so people can understand it a heck of a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to throw this out there. You guys probably haven't even thought about it. But let's say our listeners are here in Sandpoint, and it's probably a little over an hour to get up to Coolin. It's a beautiful drive.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to kind of add in a little walk or something along the lake, because the lake is so gorgeous. We have a beautiful lake here in Ponderay, but Priest Lake is really it's quite amazing. Special. So what would you say? Go a little bit early so you can take a walk or do something fun along the lake. Where would you suggest they go?
You could actually take your boat as well. Kayaks
can you bet. You
can go right in at Kulin.
Yeah, because Kulin has a boat ramp.
You know what I like on the way up is the visitor center. It's on the right-hand side, and it is...
Is that by Hannah Flats?
Not as far as Hannah Flats. Chipmunk Rapids.
Oh, Chipmunk Rapids, right.
And it's a great cross-country ski area, mm-hmm. but it's a great place to just walk and get down along the river.
Yeah, there's a little loop walk there that takes you down along the Priest.
Yeah, Kinnexu Marsh Trail.
Along the Priest River,
It should be daylight up until 9 o'clock by June 15th, so you can go hiking before and after. Camp.
Come up, spend the night Friday.
But it's gorgeous. Lake. That's one thing. Whenever I'm, driving up 57, I am in awe every time about how gorgeous an area that we live in and how, worthy of protection it is.
How lucky we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is folks that haven't done some of the things on the lake, but a classic one, especially if you're a kayaker, is to, kayak up the thoroughfare at the north end of the lake and get onto Upper Priest Lake.
I do that every summer. It's a tradition ever since I lived in that part of the county, taking my kids up there in canoe.
Same here. And one time I was out in the canoe with my little 3-year-old boy and a moose came swimming right towards us.
Oh boy.
And he veered off just as he got near us. But it is so beautiful up there.
Is.
So we want to talk about that film festival again at the end, just to remind everyone. But in thinking about the work that SCA does, a couple things. You said that the main focus of the work now has shifted to surface and groundwater. What made that decision? What kind of brought that on?
Yeah, that's a great question, Susie. So... And that's just for our 5-year plan, which is up to 2025. So we could come back and we actually have a retreat this fall and, maybe focus on forestry issues. But for, the past 5 years, we have been focusing on water quality conservation in the basin. And one of the reasons that we made that decision is because SCA, one of our strongest, just most robust, longest running program is our water quality monitoring program. And since 2008, SCA has been monitoring. We have 17 sites on Lower Priest Lake and one site on Upper Priest Lake. And we're looking at things like dissolved oxygen and temperature. We do full profiles to the bottom of the lake. We're looking at nutrients, we're looking at chlorophyll A, we're looking at turbidity and pH, so a number of different parameters for our lake water quality monitoring work. And as Pam mentioned, I'm the only, paid employee for SCA, so this is all citizen-powered, volunteer-powered. I want to give a big shout-out to our board members because they are a working board and really are the muscle behind our water quality monitoring work. And then we've been doing that work since 2008 and as a part of the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Citizen Science Volunteer Monitoring Program. That's a mouthful. But in 2019, we also started a Priest Basin Stream Water Quality Monitoring Program. So we now currently monitor 17 of the primary streams that feed into Priest Lake in the basin and also Upper Priest River. And we're looking at things like temperature, nutrients, pH, and turbidity for our local streams. But really, our water quality monitoring work, it is really our kind of strongest program work and longest running program work. So that's where we do well, and we're sticking with it.
And what is the monitoring showing you about the water quality?
So while we're seeing, so I mentioned we have 17 sites on Lower Priest. Most of those, we have like 3 or 4 deep sites, and most of our sites are shallower lake bays. And so we're seeing in some of our lake bays more just algae and vegetation growth. But overall, Priest Lake and our streams, we have excellent water quality. A lot of our work is proactive water quality monitoring work this time. So we're happy to report that it's all looking good. Mm-hmm. We are also seeing slight temperature. One of our board members, Stan Miller, has really taken a deep dive into earlier data. Data was collected by DEQ in the early 90s, and we're doing kind of temperature comparisons with that. So we'll be reporting on that. We have a biannual newsletter that comes out, and we do all of our water quality monitoring reporting on our website and then our newsletter. Mm-hmm. So you can read more about it.
I do want to just say that the Lower Priest River is what's struggling to survive right now. And there is a Priest River Watershed group that the public can pay attention to and get online and see what's going on with that, too, to try to save that, to save the bull trout, the temperature.
The temperatures in the Lower Priest are the biggest issue, as I understand, for the fisheries.
Right.
And that relates to something that's been going on with the lake, and that is changes to the operation of the outlet dam. So where are you guys with that? Because the idea there is to maybe raise the lake level so that more water could be released. As I understand it, I'm a little foggy on this. More water could be released in summer and keep the Priest River cooler for those fisheries.
It's an issue.
They have raised the lake level a half of a foot. And I think it was more of an afterthought that it, you know, they could keep flows in the Priest River during the hottest of summer, but it was the impetus, as I understand it, was more so that the lake level is not impacted during hot summers.
That was a contentious issue around the lake, right?
It is still.
So Priest River, for, you know, the outlet dam was originally put in the 1950s and upgraded in the 70s. And since then, it's greatly impacted the flow regime, as you know, especially spring flow regime to Priest River. And as a result, Priest River is suffering. I mean, it's suffering from wicked high temperatures. We have fish die-offs as recently as 2021 and extremely low flows. You know, mm-hmm. Priest River is not a free-flowing river anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like if a river isn't flowing, then all kinds of pathogens and different kinds of things happen that can, again, impact even the quality of life on the shoreline.
For sure. Again, with the weather, the climate change, I have to say, climate issues, it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. I believe.
Well, for the Lower Priest Lake, probably for all the streams in the entire watershed, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we are definitely seeing warmer, drier summers.
Yeah, I just want to remind the KRFY listeners who have tuned in this morning that this is 88.5 KRFY, your community radio station. We're here in the studio with Pam Duquette and Amy Anderson. They're both from the Selkirk Conservation Alliance, and we're hearing about really important information. And if you didn't get to hear it all, you could tell your friends we are recording this interview, and it will be on our website at krfy.org later in the morning. So you have the opportunity to re-listen. I'm learning a lot, so really glad you guys are here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you having us again,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'll throw out another issue. I just happen to know just enough about to ask questions, and that is the thoroughfare. Now, there's been some work done at the breakwater, at the bottom of the thoroughfare. Is that work complete now?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think that was a couple years ago they finished.
Yeah. And the intent of that was to help keep the mouth of the thoroughfare from silting over. Is that correct? Yeah. So boats could, specifically power boats, because kayaks would be able to get up there no matter what.
So motorized boats could access Upper Priest.
Right. And there was some contention with that issue as well, because there were some folks who were saying, hey, if we kept let it naturally silt over, and the Upper Priest Lake was only accessible by small paddle craft, mm-hmm. that it would create a basically world-class destination for paddlers.
It would.
And when you have an issue like that, because I know you have a diverse membership, and you have some property owners that would probably like that idea, or members, and you have some that probably don't like that idea. How does the Selkirk Conservation Alliance navigate that?
I don't think we have at this point. In the 90s, early 90s, I remember going to meetings trying to keep motorized vehicles out of the Upper Lake. And it was such a fight, and I haven't seen it be brought up again. And people worry about elderly people people with handicaps that can't get up there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we can bring them. My opinion was we could bring them. We could paddle them. There could be boats to take up people, you know, that you hand mm-hmm. paddle. So I don't know. I hope that comes up again. And the issue with the motorboats, too, is if they're not responsible about not creating a wake along the thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. And so many people, I don't think, understand what a wake is. Mm-hmm. Because they'll pass you by with these big waves, and we're like, no wake, no wake. Mm-hmm.
And that's not just for the paddlers. That's to prevent shoreline erosion.
It's not for the paddlers. Yeah, it is to save the river, to save the thoroughfare, for sure.
Yeah, the thoroughfare, as well as the upper lake, is a no wake. And for instance, you shouldn't be up there water skiing. And I don't know if that happens very much, but
I don't believe you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's prohibited.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that.
Well, they do bring those little powered
jet skis. Yeah.
Watercraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the other questions I would have is, there is a limit to the size of the boats, because you could have a small motor that is contained and it's not leaking gas and oil or whatever.
Electric motor.
Electric motors would be perfect.
They would be.
Compromise.
They would be.
And, or these gigantic boats that, you know, really impact. Mm-hmm. So is there a limit on the size?
Nope.
No, there's no limit on the size. But you know, and most of the motor boaters that go up there are considerate.
True.
You know, there are just a few that aren't, I think. And that's the...
And it's education.
Always the few that kind of messes it up for everybody else, so...
And so if this helps educate, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Do you do water monitoring on the Upper Lake?
We have one side on Upper Priest Lake, yep.
So I would think that lake is practically pristine, because there aren't any roads that are right adjacent to the lake anyways.
It's exquisite. Beautiful. Water quality, yep. It's a gorgeous area.
Mm-hmm.
I did a loon survey up there once, years ago. I think it was with the Selkirk Priest Basin.
Okay, way back when.
A long time ago.
I tell you, we have beautiful, clean water here, but you don't realize it's not nearly as clean as the historic water was. If you go up to the Upper Priest Lake, where there isn't any houses, there's nothing that's getting into the water, and you just see how startlingly clear, though, that lake water is, you realize we've actually lost a few steps here.
Oh, boy. And if you go up the river, the Upper Priest River, you can paddle from the upper lake, and you can get quite a ways up there. And it is the clearest, most beautiful water. And then you can hike that trail from the top of the lake. I don't remember what it's called. But you have to cut off into the Devil's Club and the Big Cedar to get to the upper river. And then you can take that hike up to the Canadian Falls.
Yeah. I think they call it American Falls, because it's really just this side of the Canadian border.
It really comes from Canada.
Yeah,
so that bright blue water, it doesn't stay like that without proactive work. So it's actually oligotrophic, which means few feeders. So when it's blue and clear, it means that you don't have a lot of algae, you don't have a lot of plant growth in those waters. Lake Ponderay, Priest Lake, and Upper Priest Lake are the three only alpine lakes we have in North Idaho, and Priest and Upper Priest by far are the most pristine alpine lakes that we have in Idaho, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Until you get up into the Selkirks.
And so when you see algae, when you see aquatic vegetation growing, it goes hand in hand with nutrients entering into the system, which is usually hand in hand with humans in development.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I noticed, unless you have some more on that, Chris, is on your website, which is, again, scawild.org, is you have advocacy, education, and science research programs. I mean, you've kind of talked a lot about that, but do people, I didn't really go into those sites, but are citizens involved in those programs?
Again, Susie, all of our work, so we have the three pillar programs. We do environmental advocacy, which I talked about, and then our scientific research, which is our water quality monitoring work in the basin. And our third program is environmental education. And to that end, we do a lot of adult education, and then we have field trips that we do throughout the year. But it's all of it is volunteer powered. So yes, it's citizens involved. I mean, I feel like SCA is kind of the definition of grassroots. We don't have a big, 35 member staff that, is isolated from the community. We are the community, and the voices of our community really direct our efforts and our energy. So
please volunteer.
Find
something you're interested in online.
And so, a perfect opportunity is the film festival.
It is.
On Saturday the 15th up in at the,
Inn at Priest Lake.
In Coolin. In Coolin's a neat little.
It is.
It's only like 3 or 4 businesses there, right? Yeah.
Yep, it's tiny.
The old Leonard Paul store. It's still the Leonard Paul store, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a classic store.
Right, sandwiches, ice cream.
Yeah.
It's great after a hike up there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful area. The Selkirks are amazing.
So as you've described it, the big focus is on water resources there. And is the Selkirk Conservation Alliance working on wildlife issues, such as, we do have a number of... of threatened or endangered species. Grizzly bears are in the, there's a small number in the Selkirk Mountains.
We have a denning population up there now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the lack of snow, we may lose that. And with delisting the grizzlies, we may also lose that.
I'm wondering, on the film festival, I just wrote this down, do you think the grizzly bear picture is kind of like the canary in the coal mine? How they go, the other things start falling if that happens?
A key species, you mean?
Yes.
Right. I would say, and this film is great on that. It shows what's happening.
A little more insight.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, good point, Susie.
I'd say over the years, SCA has worked on a lot of environmental issues, grizzly bears being one of them. Most recently, caribou was a big wildlife issue. Where it intersects with our water quality monitoring work is things like, bull trout and Trestle Creek and conservation of those waters. And so I feel like water is really a nexus, especially for wildlife. So, yeah, I feel like we work on it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one of the founders of Selkirk Priest Basin Association was Barry Rosenberg. And I can remember him telling me years ago, says, it all comes down to the water.
Right. It does.
It's the things that happen on the land affect what's going to get into our waters, including, the timber sales. Barry was a... environmental warrior. Right.
And it's funny, if you look up, I looked up this morning just briefly to see if I could find more history on the original. What they have listed are lawsuits about timber issues.
Right.
And that's back in the 90s.
Yeah, Barry, as a prime mover in the organization, was, really... he had a place up above Priest River, actually, that was impacted by some timber sales there and impacted his water source, actually.
Right.
So that's where
Water is crucial. Yeah,
Barry's actually who brought me into SCA, and he was an executive director for Kootenai Environmental Alliance for several years as well. So,
he migrated down to the Kootenai Environmental Alliance. Mm-hmm. So is that how you met him?
Through Kootenai Environmental Alliance, and Janet Torline, who's a longtime environmental advocate in the area.
You got it. Yeah. I met him tree planting. He also did a tree planting crew.
Okay.
And when I was not working with my little partnership and I'd be looking for some income, I ran into Barry once, and I only worked with him once because too big a crew for me. But
and Barry sadly died maybe a year and a half ago or so. He was spending winters here in Sandpoint with Kathy, his wife.
Mm-hmm. And she does still. She lives in Sandpoint.
I can ask you another question. I've always thought that Selkirk Conservation Alliance, especially after they changed up their name, that it's a bigger name now. It's not Selkirk Priest Basin Association with a focus in the name on basin as much as Selkirk Mountains overall. Mm-hmm. And the Selkirk Mountains, of course, they stretch way up into Canada. But on the east side of the Selkirk Mountains, there are some really valuable resources as well, one of them being Long Canyon and, of course, the Selkirk Crest. Do you see a time in the future where Selkirk Conservation Alliance might get more involved in some of the issues about over, you know, encompassing that entire range that sticks down from Canada?
So currently, we're actually working on a newly budding work group called the Idaho Panhandle Public Lands Initiative.
Right. We just named it last night.
Right. And again, this is newly budding. It is open to the public. However, our first few meetings have kind of, you know,
still organizing.
Yep, we're still figuring kind of out, standing it all up. But the goal of that work group is to formalize all of the current, currently, I guess, listed management areas that are recommended wilderness, and work to get them permanently designated as wilderness. So yeah, we most definitely will be working on wilderness issues and.
Are you connecting with people that live in Bonner's Ferry, you know, on that east side of the because they used to have a pretty active group there called the Boundary Backpackers, and I don't know if I think that's kind of gone away as some of the folks.
They have that KVR.
KVRI is right. One of the members. So this is really
Big organization up there.
Idaho Conservation League is kind of spearheading this effort, and they're the ones that originally have reached out to the people that are sitting at the table now. I feel like SCA's role in this group is definitely to bring in more public that are conservation-minded. So if you're interested in it, definitely reach out to SCA. And come sit at the table with us and help us hash out all this, you know, wilderness area issues. Because there's a lot of user groups that are at the table, a lot of snowmobiling groups and,
economic.
You know, logging, timber companies. So we need our conservation-minded folks to come help us with this planning effort.
Mm-hmm. And I am also representing the Great Old Broads for Wilderness at the table for that. Everybody laughs at the title. We are nationwide.
Okay.
Look it up.
Just the local Great Old Broads, huh?
No, it's a nationwide organization, and they do amazing things.
Yeah.
So I am trying to get a North Idaho band going.
Okay.
But I'm so busy with other things right now that it's just me.
Yeah.
And what's me too, I'll be in your group.
That's right.
You're not old enough, Amy. Yeah.
So what's the mission of that group?
To protect public lands.
Okay.
Same.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And I went to a training down in Santa Fe to become a broadband leader. We call them broadbands. Mm-hmm. But like I said, time. And once I got on the council, I'm like, ooh, where's my time?
Never underestimate the power of retired
boy.
Vocal men and women, right. You know, that are conservation-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you better tell us again, because we're going to be running out of time before very long here, about this event you have coming up next Saturday, June 15th.
It is on our website, and you can look, and there you can also reserve tickets. There's a button.
And that website?
www.scawild.org.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I would recommend that you do go to our website and RSV your ticket. Again, it's free, so you won't have to pay anything, but we will know that you're coming and hold a seat for you because we imagine that it's going to fill up pretty fast. And if you'd like to become a sponsor, there's lots of great perks to sponsorship. So again, yeah, visit our website, www.scawild.org. And come visit with us. Our board will be there on Saturday the 15th. I'll be there. And we just really want to connect with you, our community members.
Mm-hmm. And their office is in Priest River.
Mm-hmm. So and it is family friendly. So if you want to bring your youngins, you can.
And make it a day at the lake.
Yeah. An overnight ahead.
Mm-hmm. Once you get there, you
overnight
won't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't even want to tell people about like how beautiful it is. I'm like...
It's like all of North Idaho.
Yeah, it's actually a really special place. That Priest Lake is it's kind of the jewel of the three big lakes we have. Really,
did you used to live there?
No, but I was involved with the old Selkirk Priest Basin Association.
She said that, and I'm like, I don't think so, but true. Yeah. I learned something.
Chris Bessler's part of our DNA.
Yep.
One of the things I just learned today and in the last bit of time is the vital work that you're doing and the importance of it. Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. So thank you for the work you're doing as volunteers and as staff of this, I'll say it again, vital organization that's really standing up for all of us to our way of life and our love of this wild lands that we live in.
Right. And I want to thank you for letting us be here today and to share.
Because
anything you want to shout out here in the last couple minutes we have? Yeah.
Just a big thank you to our volunteer board and all the volunteers that come and help us do all of our programs and projects and events. And we really couldn't do what we do without you. Again, SCA is one of the oldest environmental nonprofits in the area. And we've been around for 37 years now. And I mean, that's a feat for any organization, and nonprofits especially, is it's a big struggle. So, you know, we couldn't do what we do without you. So I just want to give a big thank you to all of our amazing community members.
And our sustaining member donors, for sure. Because she's an amazing fundraiser. I do the fundraising committee as well, but she looks at all the grants and brings in and that U.S. Climate Action Network I mentioned brought us a great chunk of money for a few years by joining them. So that's what we run on and live on and pay Amy on.
Well, good job. Thanks for coming
in.
Thank
you all.
And again, if you didn't get to hear the whole interview, you can go to our website at krfy.org a little bit later in the morning, and it will be listed there on our front page. Thanks to Keoki. And we're going to hear a quick song. This is Idaho by Beth and Cindy, our very own Sandpoint group. It's a beautiful song. Enjoy. Chris and I will be back with some information about the upcoming morning shows and some other things that are going on. So stay with us. Again, thank you, Pam Duquette, Amy Anderson from the Selkirk Conservation Alliance.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank KRFY, 88.5 Community Radio.
That's right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Here's Idaho with Beth and Cindy.